For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
It's round four on the Monday Waffle. I'm joined in the studio by Laura Birch and Josh Garlop. How are you guys?
Hello.
Great. That's very good.
Birchie, your team wasn't playing this weekend, so what'd you end up doing? South Freo had a bye.
Yeah, we had a bye. Much needed rest just to stay on top. I was keeping an eye on the East Freo and West Perth game.
Garlop, how about you? Did you follow any of the games closely?
I saw East Perth and Peel Thunder. So East Perth recording their first win, which is a big for the Waffle Derby.
The Waffle Derby, that's what they were calling it. Yep. Let's dive into the game. So you touched on the East Freo-West Perth game, Birchie. East Freo were dominant, weren't they?
Yeah, there were six goals in the first quarter. They were moving the ball really well. The first and last quarter was where it really counted.
Liam Anthony, ex-Kangaroo, had 34 disposals. He was dominant in the midfield for East Freo. And Brett Peake, the ex-St Kilda
really
player
good.
And Freo player, kicked three goals.
Great game.
And on Brett Peake, our own Verity Hughes from the Monday Waffle was down at the game and spoke to him after their big win.
Winning victory today, how do you feel the boys went?
Looking at the scoreboard, I think we ended up winning by seven goals. It was a good win. Wasn't easy. Rain came in for a little bit in the second quarter, but we gathered momentum and sort of fought out the game pretty well.
And you personally, you felt you performed well today?
I never look at my own game from a personal point of view, but from a team it was really good to get the win, bounce back from obviously a narrow loss to Peel 2 weeks ago, and especially after the bye, sometimes you can come out to a bit of a sluggish start, and we put the score on the board in the first quarter.
Looking forward to round five next week?
Yeah, I think we got Claremont, who are travelling along pretty well, so they're a young up and coming side, a bit like ourselves. So we've got them at home again, so yeah, look forward to it. Tough training during the week, and we'll see if we can come away with the 4 points.
Thanks so much for talking to me. Have a great celebratory night tonight.
That was Verity Hughes down at the game there with Brett Peake. And Josh, what about West Perth?
Their first and last quarters really let them down. They sort of came close in the second and third from goals with Max Duffy and Michael Lowry. But at the third quarter, they were still behind by 25 points. No goals in the last quarter. Aaron Black was great with 28 disposals and one goal, the 2014 Santa medalist, and Stephen Brown with 29 disposals. West Perth will have to bounce back this week for the derby next week against East Perth.
They certainly will. Moving on to the Waffle Derby, it was the other big game of the week, guys. The alignment game between Peel Thunder and East Perth for the Eagles and Dockers.
East Perth won 104 points to 74. First win for the season, so that was really good for the team. They kicked four out of five last goals, which really helped them to win. It was neck and neck until the last quarter. Peel Thunder, really good to have Anthony Morabito back. First game since round 23, 2014. So he's had a lot of knee injuries. So even though Peel didn't win, good to see him back.
Yeah, he's recovering from that hamstring injury that was a bit of a setback on his recovery. There's rumours that he might get a call up straight away to the Dockers with their poor performance in the AFL.
Well, look, we'll see how he goes. But he definitely deserves it. He was a great player when he was fit and healthy.
And East Perth, Josh, Kane Lucas and Pat McGinnity were pretty strong in that midfield.
Definitely. Kane Lucas finished with 29 possessions. He was around the footy all day. Pat McGinnity had another good game, wrapping up 25 disposals and had two goals. Three goals also to Corey Admonson and three for Matt Allen. He's a first-year draftee. This was the first win for the season, and it was by 30 points, so that's great for the boys. It's
good,
positive signs.
Good for my East Perth boys, the Royals. Let's go, boys. We're going to make the finals. Watch us go. Moving over to the Claremont Swan Districts game. Birchie, what happened in that one?
So Swan District's first win for the season too, which was great. So they won 83 points to Claremont 77, and that was at Steel Blue Oval. Claremont took its home game to Bassendean due to the unavailability of the showground. Look, Claremont's problem was their kicking accuracy. They just couldn't get a goal. So they had 37% compared with the Swannies' 72%. So, yeah, they had 17 points. It's just not good enough. They could have won.
Inaccurate kicking will lose you the game in the end. Josh, Jai Bolton and Tom Ledger in the midfield had 36 and 33 disposals.
Yeah, and Ian Richardson, the Newman College grad, with three goals.
And talking of Matt Davies, Thomas Smirk from the Swannies, he had a really good game. He held Matty Davies off to 13 possessions.
Yeah, did the tagging role on him, did a good job as well. Guys, Subi did what they always do and were dominant. Did the whole game, they just absolutely were all over Perth, weren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Subiaco scored 12 of the first 13 goals. That is just massive. Perth, again, their kicking accuracy was ridiculously bad at 17%. They got 19 points. You can't be doing that if you want to win.
No, that'll lose your games of footy. Lee Kitchen in the midfield had 39. Lachlan Delahunty had 33. And for Perth, Josh, what happened there?
Well, again, the kicking accuracy was a problem, but Clint Jones picked up 36 disposals for the Demons, and Aiden Troppiano had 32 touches. So some positive signs, but a pretty bad performance.
Yeah, Troppiano continuing his form from last year, and Clint Jones, guys, smoky outsider for the Sandover. What do you reckon?
Yeah, he's definitely in with the chance.
Yeah, he was a great pickup for them from St Kilda, and he'll be running for them the whole season. He'll be racking up some big numbers, I'd say.
Better start putting some bets on.
Don't think we're allowed to plug betting on the podcast, but who cares?
Probably not.
Ah, well, it's done now.
I'm Dennis Cometti. If I'm listening to the Monday Waffle, then you should be too.
We're now joined with Bridget Lacey from the West. She's a sports reporter there. So, Bridget, tell us, what did you think of the East Frio and West Perth game?
Yeah, it's a significant result, I think, for both clubs. You know, we weren't really sure about East Fremantle, where they were at. Pretty positive start to the year, but they got Swans, you know, first round, and we know Swans are struggling a bit, and then just fell short against Peel down in Mandurah. So it was a really good test to see how much they'd improved over the off-season, and they passed the test with flying colours, and West Perth are in a world of hurt at the moment, both in terms of results and injuries. So it'll be interesting where to from here for them.
Do you think East Frio are a chance to win the flag this year?
Oh, look, we probably want to see how they go against Subi. I think that's the test for all the clubs. But at this stage, they've stood up well against Peel, and we think Peel are probably up there with some of the better clubs in the comp, especially when they've got good availability in terms of Fremantle players. And then they've just smashed last year's grand finalists. So you'd have to say that that they're going to be, you know, in the conversation for the five. And then after that, it's about results come September. So, yeah, I mean, at this stage, you'd have to have them up there. But we did see them drop away dramatically last season, so I suppose we have to keep that in mind as well.
So where does that leave the Falcons, Bridget, in terms of they've lost that one going forward? What do you think it means for them?
The biggest concern for them is that the injury toll is mounting. So being able to respond and get on a roll is going to be even harder unless they can find some players. Obviously, Marcus Adams has been a massive loss for them, and we see how well he's going at AFL level.
He's doing brilliantly at the Bulldogs, isn't he?
Yeah, he's absolutely flying. So that's a huge loss in itself. And then you get injuries on top of that, and they just obviously are not coping with it at the moment. So you know, a tough ask to turn it around. They've got their arch rivals this week coming up, and East Perth, we saw, got their mojo back a bit last weekend. So a really interesting game. If they drop that, oh, it's a long way back to them, isn't it?
Definitely. Speaking of East Perth, they had their first win on the weekend against the Peel Thunder. Anthony Morabito returned with 23 possessions. What do you think his likelihood of being elevated to the AFL will be?
In all honesty, no likelihood. I think Anthony, given his history, would have to put together 2 months of really solid football to be even considered at AFL level. Especially now with the reduced rotations, you can't bring him in as a substitute. He's not going to have the conditioning background for one thing. And then it's just a massive risk in terms of him going out and doing himself another injury. So, yeah, I think that's the task ahead for Anthony now, is he's got to really put in some strong performances for at least 2 months. And I think, from what I heard, I wasn't there on the weekend, but from what I heard, he showed patches of his brilliance that we all know he's capable of, but then perhaps he wasn't able to man up on a player and do the team things as well as perhaps the club would have liked. So these are all things he'll be needing to work on, but obviously a pretty positive start given where he's come from.
And East Perth, the Eagles-aligned club, what do you think that win means for them going forward?
Well, they needed it. They needed it badly. And I think they probably got Peel Thunder at a good time. Peel were missing a few of the key Dockers guys that they would normally have, like a Connor Blakely, and they didn't have a Tendai Mazungu and Matt DeBoer out there as well, just in terms of leadership in that midfield. But having said that, they still had to go down there and win. And from what I heard, if it had been going a bit longer, they probably would have won by an even bigger margin. So Yeah, they really needed that. They were struggling big time, and there were question marks about how committed perhaps the Eagles players were to playing for that jumper. So a really good sign that they were able to rebound, and it's up to them now whether they can sustain it, because from what I saw in the previous weeks, they really drifted in and out of games, so it's about whether they can sustain this now from here.
And Swan Districts was a bit of a surprise for our tipping, beating Claremont. Claremont just didn't seem to have much accuracy when it came to goal-kicking.
Yeah, that's been a problem for a couple of clubs. But, yeah, I think 2 weeks in a row it's cost Claremont a bit. But, gee, they're hard to read, aren't they? You know, they come out and belt East Perth in round one, and then they have a week off and come out and lose to Perth and Swans, who we suspect are going to be around the bottom of the ladder this season. So that's a bit of a worry for the Tigers, whether they're picking and choosing perhaps when they really want to put in their best effort. But a big relief for the Swans. I mean, they've had a terrible start to the year, and they were really non-competitive. After round one, they were okay. They had a few injuries in that game, but you know, the two games after that, they were really non-competitive. So they needed something to keep the fans a little bit interested, I think.
Yeah. Do you think the inconsistency could have anything to do with they don't really have a home ground yet? The players, is there a bit of doubt within the club? Where they played out at Bassendean on the weekend, didn't they?
They did, and you know, in a close result like that, you might look back and wonder. Perhaps if we're playing at our home game, home ground, we get on top of that. And, you know, that could have also played into the goal-kicking accuracy. Obviously, you're probably going to be much better at somewhere where you train far more often than not. So, yeah, it's an issue for them, but I suppose there's not much they can do about that for the time being.
And Bridget Subiaco, is anyone catching them come the end of the season? They had another big win on the weekend. What do you think?
I can't see it at the moment. I just can't see the weakness. The only thing I think that can stop them is injuries. They've had a couple of significant injuries, but not enough to hold their momentum given the depth that they have at that club. I am interested to see how South Fremantle and East Fremantle go against them, because they're probably the two that that haven't had a crack at them yet. And Peel did. Peel probably should have beaten them in round one. So. So those are three clubs that I like to see go up against them again, and we'll see. But you know, I really think Subi at their best. No one in the comp's good enough to go with them at this stage.
Don't forget to go to the Monday Waffle Facebook page and throw us a like and follow us on Twitter.
It's time for the Monday Waffle Tips. Let's get down to business.
Burgie, what was the damage with tips this week?
Okay, tipping. Soph smashed this round. She got 3. Next best Soph. Was me and Verity at 2. And Joel, Josh, and Kelly, you only got 1. Bad effort.
That's all right.
A lot of upsets this round. It was a bit.
Yeah, big upsets.
Give us a break.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't. Yeah.
Well, look, yeah. I went wrong in tipping Peel Thunder and East Perth. I thought they could do it. And also. Tip the clear favourite, Claremont, while Swan Districts managed to win. That was a surprise for me. But talking of the leaderboard, Kelly's out in front and 11. I'm next at 10, Soph's at 9, Joel and Verity are at 8, and Josh, you're coming last on 7. Bad luck.
Ooh, so we do punishments every week. What is the end-of-season punishment for the overall loser?
Oh, we haven't really discussed that, have we? We could do something.
Maybe
something we should
massive.
Put the call out to listeners. If there is a punishment, you think maybe the person has to spend 24 hours with Joel Saratsis, or
sounds incredible. That's not a punishment. That's a
yeah. Change that. I quite like that.
Can we just quickly touch on the AFL tipping? I feel like the first 3 rounds have been ridiculously hard to tip.
Yeah, I agree. Well, the weekend had a lot of upsets that really threw me off. I think I got 7, but everyone got 7.
Well, who saw the Dockers form? Who saw that? 3 straight losses to start the season. That's really bad.
I was really happy. I actually tipped Freo, and a few hours before changed it to West Coast. So thank God.
Yeah, no, very good call.
I feel like you might have gained some. You might have cheated somehow, Birchie. But okay.
Yeah.
From the studios of ECU, you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
That's the show for this week, guys. Thanks for listening. Short and sharp. Birchie, looking forward to next week. What are the games coming up?
So next week we have East Fremantle versus Claremont at the Atom Stadium. East Perth, West Perth. We've got the Derby at Medibank Stadium. That'll be a good one.
That'll be a good game.
Perth and South Fremantle at Lathlane Park, and Swan Districts and Subiaco at Steel Blue Oval. So some interesting games next week.
Yeah, good luck, Swan Districts. Is anyone stopping Subi? Who knows?
So how's the ladder going?
Yeah, looking at the ladder, well, Subi haven't lost a game yet. They're 4 from 4, 16 points out on top. Straight behind them is South Freo. They're 3 from 3 as well, actually. They haven't lost a game either, but they've just had the one bye week. East Freo next, they're 3rd on the ladder. They have won 2, lost 1. Peel Thunder, they've played 4, won 2, lost 2. So about what you'd expect from them, isn't it? Yeah. Especially with the players coming in and out for the Dockers. Claremont, they're the up and down one of the season. Who knows what they're going to dish out most weeks. They've only won the one game, lost the 2. And outside of the top 5, we've got West Perth, Perth, East Perth and Swan Districts are on the bottom. They've all won 1 game.
Yeah, well, thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see what happens next week.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.